And we have a very special guest on the line, do we not, Allison?
We hope he's on the line right now.
Gary?
Gary, can you hear us?
Yes.
Great.
Super.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
That's
super.
The right, that's the right answer.
Super.
I'll just give you a short intro, and then I know we'll go into a little more of your background. Gary Ka is a former European and Middle East trade specialist, and as such, he had contacts and has contacts with the highest levels of governments, both domestically and internationally. He's the author of the book En Route to Global Occupation, which is a number one Christian bestseller that has sold over 250,000 copies. And his latest book is The New World Religion.
And on the way into the station, we talked to Gary on the phone, and we learned something really fascinating about his background. And I think that's what we'd like for him to start talking with.
Well, yeah. Bill and Allison, thanks for having me on your program, first of all. I guess, you know, people wonder what got me started researching and writing on the one world globalist movement. And it goes back pretty far, and I'll just give you a little bit of brief background. I was born in this country, but my parents were European immigrants. My father is from Croatia. And at age 12, he and his family had about one day's notice to take off and run for their lives or be conquered. And so they formed a wagon train with some neighbors and relatives, threw a few pots and pans and a couple suitcases with clothes on the back, and lost everything else they had. They ran for their lives from the communists. And then within a year, he ended up having to flee from the Nazis at age 13. And so I could go into a lot more detail, but in a nutshell, my father is the only person I know of. I'm sure there are probably others who fled from both the communists and the Nazis as a kid. After the war, he met my mother, who grew up in Germany, and her father, my grandfather, was very outspoken against Hitler, to the point where in their small town of 300, the Nazi school teacher, it's believed, was the one who ratted on him. And one day the secret police show up in that little town looking for my grandpa. And if it wouldn't have been for the intervention of the mayor, who happened to be a friend of the family and who sent them in the wrong direction and then told my grandpa that they're looking for him, I mean, it's like something out of the movies. My grandpa ended up hiding out in the forest and for several days until the coast was clear. So on both sides, on my dad's side and my mom's side, our family went through a lot through World War II. And so you have to understand that about my background. As I was growing up in Dayton, Ohio, which is where I was born after my parents came over, I heard about, you know, their experiences during the war, especially at family reunions when they got together with their cousins who went through the same thing. And so by the time I was 11 or 12 years old, I had become very interested in international affairs and was asking questions like, how could something so terrible have happened as World War II in a country like Germany that had such a strong Christian heritage? I mean, that's where the Reformation, you know, took place. That's where the Gutenberg printing press first printed the Bibles, and many of your great theologians came from Germany, and then look what happened under Hitler. And so I remember making a commitment as a boy shortly after accepting Christ as my Savior. During sixth grade, I remember praying in my classroom, Lord, if anything were to ever happen like what happened during World War II in Europe, if anything like that were to happen in this country, I promise to you I will take a stand no matter what the cost. And I remember that moment as if it was yesterday. And years later, it appears the Lord took me up on that. And I need to say I prayed that prayer silently. I wasn't praying out loud in my classroom. But nonetheless, the Lord, I believe, had a plan for my life. And long story short, I ended up working for the government of Indiana. I was under the lieutenant governor, who was the director of commerce. And as you mentioned at the beginning, I became the Europe and Middle East trade specialist. And over the course of a few years, traveled over 20 different countries as a point man for the Indiana government to try to bring business into Indiana. namely by increasing our exports so that it would create more jobs on the home front. And so I was on the payroll of the state government, but my meetings overseas were organized through our U.S. embassies. And so I met a lot of people in our State Department at the federal level, and through them met various international business leaders in especially the energy fields, in the energy field and in the area of medical products. Those two areas were among my areas of expertise. And through that, over a period of time, I began to hear talk about a push toward a single government over the entire world. And I was surprised to learn that a significant percentage of the people who worked in our State Department at the embassies were in favor of this idea of empowering the UN to the point where it becomes a type of global government. And I got really good at asking intentionally dumb-sounding questions. I didn't always show where I was coming from, because if you do that, people will clam up and they won't tell you what's really on their minds. And so just by asking questions and kind of playing along, it was amazing how some of these people were quite open. And the one thing that the one-worlders had in common consistently was they were not favorable toward Bible-believing Christians and conservative Jews. If you were in one of those two categories, you weren't on their side, so to speak. And I thought, isn't that interesting? That sounds a lot like the days leading up to Hitler's Nazi Germany. You know, he wanted to have one world, one government, and we all know what he did to the Christians and the Jews. So that's how it all began for me. And at that point, I began to investigate further and further. Eventually, it cost me my job. That's a whole other story. And then I spent 6 years further researching and writing on it, and it led to my book, In Roots of Global Occupation, which came out this November. It'll be 30 years, believe it or not, since that book came out. And I've been doing everything I can ever since to try to warn people of what's coming.
Well, Gary, that's, you know, that's a fascinating background. It certainly gives you a lot of insight that us regular folks don't have into that. Is that the basis of your two books, On the Route to Global Occupation and The New World Religion?
Well, yes, it was these experiences that I had that I believe the level of discernment that I had, and I don't want to boast here, but it's just, I think because of my background and what I grew up with, it made me more attuned to spotting these kinds of trends and developments and asking the right questions along the way. But then I put over 10,000 hours of research into the writing of my first book. I wanted to make sure I had all the I's dotted and T's crossed, because I knew it would come under a lot of scrutiny. So I ended up with about 800 pages of notes and writing, and that was condensed down to about a 220-page book called En Route to Global Occupation. And in that book, I actually reproduced some documents on the stationery and letterheads of some of the organizations involved. And I think I have over 300 footnotes in there. I'll never forget, I was actually speaking in Canada, and a guy came up afterwards and in front of people tried to embarrass me and said, "This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. You're basically crazy and making all this up." So I gave him a copy of my book and I challenged him to look up every single detail of it. And I figured he probably wouldn't. Well, a year and a half later, I went back to speak at that same place. And afterwards, I saw the same guy coming over to me and I thought, oh boy, here we go again. He got everybody's attention standing around, and then he said, "Folks, I just want to tell you something. Everything that Gary is saying is true. I have looked up every single footnote and document to the best of my ability in this book, and I'm telling you this is the truth." He's telling you the truth. And so 30 years later, I have not had to retract anything out of that book, because it's all fully documented. And that's by the grace of God. I can't take credit for that. Some of the contacts I made that led me to the information that I have, there's a story behind each one of them. It's really amazing how God worked to help me put this book together. The thing that I regret personally is And I guess if I have a bone to pick with the American people, this would be it. Americans, by and large, tend not to react and take a stand until their backs are absolutely against the wall. I mean, we've had 30 years to do something, to take a stand, and very few people have. There are people who have, but it's been a very small percentage of the population. You know, we could have nipped all this in the bud way back in the 90s, and but it's come to the point that it has, and now we're staring world government in the face, and unless a miracle happens within the next couple of years, this is all going to unfold quite rapidly as they're using this COVID crisis scenario to push all of this on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you about that probably after the break. We're talking with Gary Ka, the author of two books, En Route to Global Occupation, and his other book is called The New World Religion. His website is garyka.org, and that's GaryKah.org. Gary Ka with a KAH.org. If you, we're going to give you our audience the opportunity to ask any questions that you might have by text. It's a local number, 830-285-4295, 285-4295. So if you have any questions for Gary Ka, please feel free to text. And coming up after the break, we're going to be asking Gary to talk about something he just hinted at, COVID and the Great Reset, also known as the New World Order. So be sure to stay with us after the break.
¶¶